Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. We are almost done with our episodes addressing opera in the 19th century. Today's episode is one that I've been looking forward to the most because, as of last year, Giacomo Puccini broke into my top 5 favorite composers, specifically because of his operas Tosca and Madama Butterfly that we staged and performed at Pittsburgh Opera last season. I'm really excited to talk to you about him today and encourage you to take a listen to some of the operas listed in the episode notes for an extended treat. In this episode, we will also discuss the Verismo style of Italian opera. Puccini was born in 1858 in Italy into a long line of church musicians, but as we know, that didn't really seem to affect him. He was not drawn to sacred music, but he was drawn to the theater for sure. After seeing Verdi's Aida when he was young, he was immediately captivated by opera. Puccini lived through the final era of the Romantic era, but his operas belong just as much to modernism as they do to this Romantic era. They are, in fact, cinematic, I would say, and very psychologically detailed, and honestly, of the utmost Romantic spirit. Puccini's compositional style is basically unmistakable. As I said, it's kind of cinematic. So we have these melodies that have lyrical beauty and are very catchy, yet they're tightly woven into the drama of the opera. Unlike some earlier composers, Puccini didn't let the arias interrupt the story. He was very much like Verdi in this way. He was the master of the Verismo style. Now, Verismo style is a late 19th century Italian operatic style that emphasizes realism. And this was telling the stories of ordinary people and their struggles. And unfortunately, sometimes these had violent plots, and other times they were passionate love stories that might not end up the way that you think. This movement, Verismo literally translates to realism, was a reaction to romantic opera as it was. And it was known for these intense emotions and modern-day settings. It really helped people focus on the lives of the lower classes. So we weren't focusing on royalty or the courts. We had these middle and lower class people represented. Now, if you're listening for his trademark techniques in his operas, you'll hear the lush cinematic orchestrations like I've mentioned. We have seamless transitions between arias and dialogue, and we have these motives that are subtly outlining a character or an emotion that these characters are feeling. And it's almost like what we talked about in Wagner, where he has these things called leitmotif, where we have characters that have these themes circled around them that transform throughout the opera. So overall, why was Puccini so effective as an opera composer, as a musical dramaturg, so to say? There are 4 things that I would love for you to remember and that I'm going to point out today about Puccini. So I've mentioned a lot of these before, but first off is his instinct for melody. It's memorable and singable, and it's never static. We can think about a classic Puccini, O mio babbino caro, from Gianni Schicchi. O mio babbino caro. It's very, very catchy, and you can remember that. Hope you enjoyed my singing. This and other melodies seem to emerge quite naturally from the singer, and I think that's also part of this Verismo style, just this natural way of living life and also just proceeding through music. Secondly, we can talk about his orchestration. So it's huge. We just did Bohème at Pittsburgh Opera, and the orchestra was like 60 people. It's humongous. I mean, it's not as big as Wagner, but it's humongous. And each person in the orchestra plays a key part. For example, a single clarinet or like an oboe can convey an emotion in a subconscious emotion that these characters are feeling up on stage. Third, we can talk about his pacing and timing within these operas. His scenes often build in long, slow waves of emotion, leading to quite explosive climaxes. Think about the Act One finale from La Bohème. Rodolfo and Mimi have met. They are basically professing their love for one another within 10 minutes of meeting. They sing, they tell them about each other, and then they sing a big duet, and it's maybe 45 pages of music and about 15 minutes worth of music. But it's this big scene that explodes all the way into the end of the act, and it propels us into the next act. So talk about pacing and timing, and it really doesn't feel like 15 minutes. You're so sucked into the story because it's so relatable. That's what I love about Puccini. And the fourth thing that we need to think about is his sensitivity to the language. So, yes, he was Italian, and of course, all of these operas that I have mentioned are all in Italian, and he really is shaping every melodic line to the rhythm of this language and even the color of Italian speech. So that even gives the opera another step up to having that natural flow that feels both conversational and lyrical at the same time. Just a couple of operas I want to mention. We have Manon Lescaut, which is from 1893. That's one of his earliest operas. I also have mentioned the famous trio of La Bohème from 1896. Tosca from 1900, and Madama Butterfly from 1904. He also has later works that showed a little bit of experimentation on his end. We have La Fanciulla del West from 1910, and we also have Gianni Schicchi, which I mentioned, from 1918, a little short one act. And his final and unfinished opera, Turandot, with the ever quintessential Nessun Dorma, one of the most famous tenor arias ever written. He actually died before completing it in 1924. So Puccini's music marked quite literally the end of an era, the end of the 19th century opera, but also the beginning of what 20th century opera would become. As I've said throughout the episode, I feel like his music is very cinematic, and this influence seemed to help pave the way for 20th and 21st century composers like Bernard Herrmann and John Williams in the film area. Most of all, Puccini gave opera something different than all these other people, and it was profoundly human. And even now, more than a century later, these operas still affect us in the same way that they affected people in the 19th century, reminding us that all of these stories of love and loss and longing are timeless and extremely relatable. In our next episode, we're going to wrap up more loose ends with late 19th century opera. We'll probably talk about some German, Russian, and French opera, and maybe a little bit of Cavalleria Rusticana and Pagliacci as well, just to wrap it up. So join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.